Title: Color Coding by Sonic Roll Intermediate. Alright, let's level up your Ableton workflow in a way that sounds boring until you try it once and realize it makes you faster immediately. Today we're doing Color Coding by Sonic Roll for drum and bass. Not make it pretty color coding. This is functional. This is the kind of system where you open a dance session with 20 to 60 tracks and you instantly know what's happening, what matters, and what's missing. DNB sessions get messy fast. Break layers, one shots, tops, multiple bass layers, atmos, effects, vocals, and then all the resampling and utility stuff. And the hidden tax is decision fatigue. You lose time because you're constantly asking, wait, what is this track doing again? So the goal of this lesson is to make your session readable like a map. When colors represent sonic function, you can mix faster, arrange with more confidence, and avoid those mystery tracks that waste your best hours. By the end, you'll have a repeatable DNB color system you can use as a template. Groups, returns, resampling tracks, the whole thing. First, we need a palette that you can remember under pressure. You're not building a rainbow, you're building a language. Here's a proven DNB-friendly system, and I want you to commit to it for at least a few projects before you tweak it. Dark blue is your sub. That's the low-end anchor. If it's truly sub, it lives here. Blue is kick, if you run it separate. Red is snare, the main hit. Yellow is drum tops, hats, shakers, rides, the bright stuff that makes your groove talk. Orange is breaks and loops, anything that's providing swing or that chopped heritage. Purple is bass mid, the reese, growl, movement, character. Green is music and atmos, pads, stabs, chords, texture that isn't drums or bass. Pink is effects, risers, downlifters, impacts, washes, transition violence. Teal is vocals. Gray is utility, sidechain triggers, reference tracks, meters, prints, resampling, anything that exists to control or manage, not to be the song. And here's the rule that makes this actually work. Color equals function, not instrument. So if you've got a synth sound that's acting like an impact, that's pink, even if it's technically a synth. If you've got a bass stab that's mostly mid-range character, that's purple, even if it's called bass. Your color should predict what you'll hear when you solo the track. Now let's talk mechanics in Ableton, because the best system in the world fails if it's annoying to use. In Live, you'll right-click the track header and assign track color. Simple. The important part is timing. Do it immediately when you make the track. Do not fix later. Fix later is how you end up with 20 tracks called Audio 17 and Audio 18, all the same color, and you stop trusting your own session. Next, grouping. When you group tracks, color the group in the same family, but slightly darker or lighter. Think of it like a folder label. The group tells you the category, the tracks inside tell you the exact role. Here's a clean DNB grouping structure that works in session or arrangement. A drums group. Inside it, kick in blue, snare in red, breaks in orange, tops in yellow, percussion either yellow or orange depending on whether it's clean tops or loop feel. A bass group, sub in dark blue, bass mid in purple, bass fills or bass effects in pink or purple depending on whether it's character or transition. A music group, pads and atmos in green, stabs or keys in green. An effects group, pink. A vocals group, teal. And a print or resample group, gray. When you do this, you should be able to glance at your set and understand it in 2 seconds. Now let's build a color-coded rolling DNB starter session. And I want you to actually create these tracks as we go, because this is where the system becomes real. Start with your drum foundation. Create an audio track named Break Loop A and color it orange. Drop in a classic style break or any drum loop you like. For warp mode, choose based on what you need. Complex Pro if you care about tone and stretching quality. Beats mode if you want punch and transient preservation. If you want jungle style edits, right-click the clip and slice to new MIDI track. That gives you instant chop control. On that break track, here's a solid stock chain. EQ 8 first. High pass somewhere around 30 to 60 HE depending on the loop. You're making space for the sub and the kick. Also, if there's a nasty ring, notch it. Don't get surgical for sport. Just remove what's clearly harsh. Then drum bus. Drive around 5 to 15%. Keep boom off or very low. The sub track will handle the true low end. Add transients, maybe plus 5 to plus 20, depending on how sleepy the loop is. Then saturator with soft clip on, and drive 1 to 4 dB if it needs density. Next, create a MIDI track called Kick, color it blue, put a drum rack on it, and load a tight kick. In DNB, shorter tails usually win, because you need room for sub and fast low-end movement. Then create a MIDI track called Snare, color it red, drum rack again, Load your main snare. You can layer a clap or a noise transient if you want, but keep the concept clear. Red is the main hit. If you add layers, keep them in the same red family using accent shades. Strong red for the core snare, slightly darker or lighter red for ghost layers or texture layers. This is one of those tiny details that makes your sessions read like a pro's. Now top scent percussion. Create a MIDI track hats and shakers. Color it yellow, and keep it clean and bright. This is your articulation and speed. Then create an audio track ride or top loop, and choose the color based on job. If it's purely high-end energy, yellow. If it's a loop that creates movement and groove, orange. Here's a teacher move. If you look up and you see too much orange in your drum section, it often means your drums are loop heavy. That's not automatically wrong, especially for jungle flavors, but it's a clue. If you want a more modern punch, you might need more clean one-shots doing the heavy lifting, with a loop supporting. Alright, bass system next. And this is where role-based coloring saves you from low-end chaos. D&B bass is rarely one track. We're going to build a two-layer bass system, and we're going to keep the role separated visually and sonically. Create a MIDI track named SUB Mono, color it dark blue. Load operator. Oscillator is set to sine. Keep the envelope tight, especially release. Flabby sub kills fast grooves. Then add utility on the sub and set width to 0%. Mono, always. Gain to taste. Optionally add a Q8, low pass around 80 to 120 Hz depending on where you want the crossover with your mid bass. The big idea is, dark blue should be true sub only. If you start adding lots of harmonics and fuzz, you'll trick yourself visually and start mixing with your eyes. Now create a MIDI track named Bass MID Reese. Color it purple. Load Waveatable or Operator or Sampler, whatever you like. But the chain matters more than the synth choice here. Start with EQ8. High pass around 90 to 150 Hz so it doesn't fight the sub. Then Saturator. Drive 2 to 8 dB. Soft clip on. Then auto filter and automate cutoff to create movement. Add a little Kars ensemble or phaser flanger for width and motion. Subtle. Then utility for width. But be careful. Widening mids is great. Widening low end is a mess. If you need to, split with EQ so only mids and highs get width. Now check the logic with mutes. This is one of the best habits you can build. Mute dark blue. Your sub. The track should feel thin immediately. If it doesn't, your mid-bass is probably doing too much low-end. Mute purple. Your mid-bass. You should still feel the weight, but the character and aggression should disappear. If it still sounds super aggressive, you might have distortion or harmonics living in your sub-track, which is a warning sign. Now let's add returns and sidechain, and we're going to color these by function, not by effect type. Create return and name it drum room. Color it yellow or orange depending on what it mainly serves. If it's mostly snare and tops texture, yellow fits. If it's gluing loops and break vibe, orange fits. On drum room, drop hybrid reverb with a short room. Then EQ8 after it, high pass around 200 to 400 Hz so you're not washing your low mids. You want space, not mud. Create return B named FX wash. Color it pink. Add echo, keep it controlled, filter engaged. Add a reverb after, medium decay. Then an auto filter or EQ after that to high pass above 300 Hz or so. FX should feel exciting without stealing headroom. If you make pink tracks full range, they will quietly wreck your mix. Now the utility sidechain track. Create a MIDI track called a C trigger. Color it gray. Put a short click or a muted kick pattern on it. The point is consistency. You can swap your actual kick sound without your sidechain behavior changing. That's huge in D&B, where you might audition kicks for an hour and not want your groove to keep shifting. On your SUB and your bass MID, add a compressor. Enable sidechain from SE trigger. Start with ratio 2 to 1 up to 4 to 1. Attack 5 to 15 milliseconds. Release 60 to 140 milliseconds depending on tempo and groove. Aim for 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction. Enough to make room, not enough to pump like a parody unless that's your style. And lock in the color rule. Anything that exists purely to control the mix stays gray. References, meters, sidechain triggers, print tracks, resampling lanes. Gray is your engineering layer. Now let's make arrangement readable with color blocks. D&B arrangement moves fast. You want to be able to scroll and understand. Intro, build, drop, breakdown, second drop. Your colors should make that obvious. Here's a clean 64-bar plan. Intro, mostly green atmos and pink FX. Minimal drums, build, bring in orange breaks, tease purple bass mid, drop 1. Full dark blue sub plus purple mid, red snare in charge, breakdown, green and pink, remove dark blue for contrast, drop 2, validation, maybe a new orange loop or different purple automation. Here's the workflow move that saves time, duplicate your drop, then change one roll at a time, swap the orange break, or evolve purple automation, while keeping dark blue sub consistent for continuity. This is how you get a second drop identity without rebuilding the whole track. Now, common mistakes, because they're predictable. The biggest one is coloring by instrument instead of role. Don't do that. Color by what it does. Second mistake is inconsistent group versus track colors in a confusing way. It's fine if your drums group is a neutral drum family color and your snare is red. That's actually helpful. Just be consistent. Third, too many unique colors. If you need a legend, you've lost. Keep it memorable. Fourth, people forget returns and utilities. In DNB, returns can be as important as instruments. Color them. Fifth, breaking your system mid-project. Consistency is the whole point. Now I want to give you some extra coach level upgrades that turn this into a real speed system. First, make colors auditionable with a mute ritual. Every time you add a new layer, do a 5-second check by roll. Mute all purple. Does the groove still make sense without mid-bass character? Mute all orange. Do your one-shots still carry the rhythm? Mute all pink. Does the arrangement still communicate energy changes without transitions? If those checks fail, your roles are blurred. Fix roles, don't just add more stuff. Second, use accent shades for core versus decoration. Strong hue for the main element, lighter or darker shades for layers, ghosts, and one-off fills. This lets you see what actually drives the record. Third, naming plus color equals two-dimensional metadata. Add quick suffixes that reinforce role. As UB vertical bar note, bass mid vertical bar mof, tops vertical bar tick, FX vertical bar up, FX vertical bar down, BRK vertical bar A, BRK vertical bar B. Now you can search and visually confirm instantly. It's fast and it scales. This audio version is shortened for playback.